Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, welcome back to the Chuck and Julie Show. My name is Adam Dorito, and I am guest hosting in the meantime until Darcy can get out of traffic in Palmer Lake. There's a bad accident on I-25. So thank you, everyone, for showing up today. For those who don't know me, my name is Adam Dorito. I'm a paratrooper, a farmer, an oil and gas worker, and an Army officer here in the state of Colorado. I've been involved in federal politics for the last 15 years, mostly working on sexual assault reform and retaliation for our Air Force Academy here in Colorado, our military federal service academies, and military worldwide. And also, I work on lots of local issues such as farming, agriculture, and ranching, which is something I take personally as I live out in the middle of nowhere up in LaSalle, near 20 minutes southeast of Greeley. So I figured it was really important a few years ago to get involved in local politics. And I think that it is up to the Republicans and the conservatives in this state in order to make a decision. Do you want to be a resident or do you want to be a citizen? And what I mean by that is, by being a resident, you can sit here and complain, eat, go to work, take your kids to soccer practice, whatever else, and complain on the internet like everyone else. Or you can be a citizen and you can sacrifice your time, your treasure, and your sanity in order to go to these local meetings and really be involved in the process, right? Because if you're not, then who is going to? If not me, then who? And one thing I actually want to bring up is, if you guys have questions, you know, until Darcy gets here, I'm happy to talk about them on the show. You guys can call into 888-627-6008. I think the first issue I want to bring up that I don't think a lot of people are paying attention to is the contentious issues going on in Weld County right now concerning the city of Greeley, right? There is a gerrymandering effort by the Democrats in order to destroy one of the last conservative bastions here left in the state of Colorado. I was at the reorganization meeting for the lines for county commissioner. Now, the way Weld County has it set up is actually really unique, and I actually encourage this in most of the other counties, is that Greeley is evenly divided amongst all of the five county commissioners, right? So there's an equal representation of the city population as well as the rural population. And for any of you who live up here like I do, most of us are rural. You know, we're farm people, right? And we don't like the cities telling us what to do. And since COVID has happened, there's been a large resurgence of crime, illegal immigration, and Democrats moving from their safe havens, what they thought were safe havens in Denver and Boulder, into our nice, quiet farm rural counties, right? And what I've seen is that the Latino Coalition and the League of Women Voters and the group of Indivisible has progressively been holding meetings, right, and constantly challenging our great representative Gabe Evans and Lauren Boebert on their inactions of what they're trying to do. And I don't think that's accurate, right? I know both of them personally. You know, we may not get along on every single issue, but like I said, we don't have to agree on everything. But I think one of the most essential things is ensuring that we can maintain Weld County as Republican and conservative controlled. And what they're trying to do is make the argument that Greeley should be its own voting district. And I would disagree with that, right? They're trying to make all these claims that they're being misrepresented, that they need more Democrats to represent them. And I was literally at the meeting the other day with our commissioner at large, Perry Buck. And it was embarrassing watching the amount of people that showed up that weren't conservatives. I believe it was myself and one other elderly woman who showed up to speak to defend our conservative rights. And the rest of them were very angry Democrats touting their credentials. One claimed to be a lawyer for 40 years, but she couldn't quote the law, even though I had quoted the law for them and stated how they were actually wrong. And that Phil Weiser and the Colorado Supreme Court are trying to intentionally destroy Weld County, Pueblo County, and some of the other conservative areas for the 26th election. Now, this is key, ladies and gentlemen, and I really want to bring this to focus to you. Don't look at what's right in front of you for these elections. We're going to get to some of the other things that are going on in the state next as well, right? Here's the problem. They understand that Republicans have a stronghold in Weld County, Pueblo County, and some other places. They understand that they need to win the Libertarian independent vote, and they need to split up the power of those Republican strongholds as fast as possible. How they can do it, they may not win elections, but if they can successfully gerrymander those voting districts to favor them, we will lose them, not just in 2026, but definitely in 2028. So once again, I encourage all of you, if you are residents in Weld County, Pueblo County, or any of these other places that the Democrats are specifically focused on to split the votes, is to get involved. Go to your county commissioner meetings. Go to these meetings. You must get involved. I know we have not seen much action from the Colorado State GOP lately. I have not seen anything on the website or anything else. So if we don't have centralized leadership that is going to be leading these efforts, it is up to us as citizens to do that. So if you have any questions about that, you know, you guys can reach out onto the show. Glad to bring you on. But I want to get to our first guest. He has a very interesting perspective of some things that have been going on down south, once again, taking away our conservative values. And I just want to welcome Jordan Scott. If you want to come on the show here, let's have that discussion.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me on today.
No, Jordan,
hey,
it's great.
Jordan.
It's great to bring you on here. So tell me what is going on? What are you observing down there in Manitou Springs? And what threats and risks are we seeing now in real time to the conservative movement?
Yeah, so basically we've seen a lot of what I'd say are public safety risks in Manitou Springs, Colorado, around their Manitou Pride Festival. This has been something that is relatively new. They formed Manitou Pride. There's like an LLC, but they did their parade last year, and it was pretty big. So, you know, they get a decent turnout. But what we saw in 2023 that really concerned us when we were out there just filming is we saw children performing drag. And not that we know that wasn't happening and that might not have happened. They were doing what I would say are lewd things. One thing in particular, putting a child on stage to perform drag with a blow up doll sex toy with the mouth duct taped shut and no written across the face.
So this is pure insanity to me, right? And I understand we have to acquiesce and understand that we do live in a mostly blue-controlled state at this point. The major urban centers are controlled by Democrats. This is an abortion-free and godless state. They like to be as secular as possible, and they like to kill as many babies as we can. And even though we try to fight for that, for our conservative values, we've been unsuccessful. And the problem is that we keep splitting our efforts in order to stop these things. And this is classic Russian spy espionage stuff, right? Is what they do, these people, there's these democratic socialists, is that they know they can't win against the current establishment that's currently controlling the conservative party. There's always going to be friction. We got some great conservative fighters out there fighting for our values, but it's not enough. But it's just enough to keep them at bay. But what they can do is they can indoctrinate children. And if they indoctrinate children below the ages of 18, right, they can slowly meld this process. So within 5 to 10 years, the values that we cherish so much will no longer exist. I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I mean, what are you seeing down in Manitou Springs, and what do you think that we can do to get involved to stop this?
Well, I'd say that there's a culture that's developed in Colorado Springs and Manitou Springs around LGBTQ club life. We know there was the Club Q tragedy that happened. And after that happened, you know, this incident that I just spoke of was in 2023. So this was the Pride Festival after Club Q. And It just seems like there's been a lot of problems since then. This boldness to want to parade things that definitely seem perverse, but even unsafe for the community, you know. And what I'm really seeing as a journalist is the more I try to report on it and just see what's going on, not even necessarily take an angle, just film, I'm getting attacked. I'm getting followed. I'm getting chased down. And, you know, in particular, the other thing I'd say is really concerning is last year I went back to Manitou Pride and I was actually chased down. They threatened to jump me several times. I was what I would say was unlawfully trespassed from a open city event just for filming, you know, and it's really a shame because when we don't have many people covering those types of things, especially conservative journalists, media, whatever, or even conservatives in general, like you said, there's very few people that show up to these court hearings, these meetings. You would think there's a lot of conservatives coming in droves and maybe there's one or two. So that's what we're seeing. And when I tell people about what's happened in Manitou, and I'm just hitting on two small, well, not small things, two very important things, they freak out and they don't know, and they aren't aware of the level of how deep all of this goes and how it is connected to the manipulation of children, and it starts with the youth. And, you know, I
100%.
could get into how these children got into the drag ring, how that's connected to Inside Out Youth Services, and how these drag queens in Manitou specifically that are performing, and they have the children, their drag family, are the queens of Club Q.
No, 100%. And this is actually a broader conversation. I mean, one thing I'll even directly relate this to is the foreign influence we're having from foreign governments into allowing this stuff to exist, right? If you look on the map that the Department of Agriculture posted the other day, is the amount of farmland that's being sold off to the Chinese CCP government, right? A lot of it's actually in Colorado, ironically, where I live, right? There was actually a great interview that Tucker Carlson did the other day with a reporter just like you in Maine, talking about how these small illegal immigrant groups are coming in and now buying up the local businesses, right? And they're influencing and destroying these family things. That's the next step for Colorado, right? We are going to take your children away from you. We're going to make sure they don't assert to the values that we grew up with for the last 20, 30 years, because by then they're going to think it's okay. And this is the system they have to grow up in. And they're going to move away and sell their businesses and leave their hometown. And then these foreign influences are going to come in, take over our businesses, take over our way of life, right? And I think that's what we're starting to see in Colorado now is you go down to Colorado Springs, like I lived down there from 2006 to 2010. It is a completely different city from when I lived there, right? It's embarrassing and it's extremely dangerous. You're seeing high crime rates. You're seeing fentanyl trafficking. You're seeing sex trafficking. You're seeing illegal Venezuelan gangs and MS-13 with U.S. soldiers trafficking women in this city, and no one cares. It's like, oh, you know what we're going to do? You know what we're going to focus on the state capitol this year? We're going to focus on stickers on gas pumps for $20,000 that state that you are poisoning the environment. And that's what we're going to focus on in legislative efforts. And a lot of credit to Ken DeGraff down there. He's been doing God's work and trying to stand up, but he stands alone, right? We got Brittany Bradley, we got Ron Weinberg, we got Stephanie Luck who are trying, but you got four people who are putting everything on the line. And that what we're going to talk about, you know, soon here is that now you're seeing people who are standing for conservative values being attacked and pushed out of the party. Ryan Weinberg has been brought up on sexual assault charges. Ken DeGraff was supposed to be the minority whip, and we have Carlos Barone, who's put there, who is chosen to be elected without notice to anyone else, apparently. That's what I've been seeing. So you're starting to see that this is not just a liberal problem, that there are forces at work that are intentionally trying to destroy the voting demographic here in 26. And by 2028, if we don't stop this now, we have no chance of saving Colorado beyond if JD Vance runs for president in 28.
Well, even then, I don't know how we're going to save Colorado. I mean, if we look at the shifting demographic, like we've talked about, 50% of the people moving here every single day are coming from California or Illinois. And
Right.
the scam of affordable housing that the Democrats created is just literally that. It's a movement to bring more Democrats here.
Well, and that's actually a really good point. I'm glad you brought up the housing crisis,
Oh
is
my.
because, well, because not only is there a housing crisis and they're outpricing us, is what Jordan's explaining, and all these families being split apart. The government, and including Polis and the governor of Maine at this point, they're giving these loans out, these government guaranteed loans to illegal
Yeah.
immigrants to buy property and housing in the United States. What is going on? If an American citizen and their family can't get a loan or can't afford to live here, but they're giving it to illegal immigrants and all these different groups because they claim diversity, what are we doing? Because
Well, right.
I thought these people believed in democracy. Democracy is supposed to be 51% of the vote, right?
No.
If they want to talk about democracy. But I will tell you, there's more than 51% of the people that don't agree with these values. But I think, Jordan, you mentioned it before, as well as I, is that if you don't show up to these meetings and you don't know what's going on and you want to play ignorant, you just want to show up to a 6:30 a.m. pancake breakfast, high five each other and talk
Yep.
about, you know, the Broncos, you're not solving any problems. You must get involved, and this gets dirty. You're going to be attacked. You're going to be accused. They're going to come after you. They're going to try to destroy your livelihood. Hell, these people have tried to do it to me for 15 years in this state, but I'm still here.
Point. I mean, the thing is, if we're not talking about these things, then who's going to? If not you, then who? And as you
Right.
brought up earlier, the state GOP right now really has no interest in any of this. I mean, when there was the previous leadership, we were on top of it, right? Every single thing that was going on in the schools, every single thing that had to do with kids, we were letting you guys know, hey, you got to come fight this. You got to show up. The state GOP at present is literally, they're happy to just say, this isn't our job. We can't lobby. What do you mean you can't lobby? You're not a lobbyist. We're just asking you to get in there and fight the fight with us. But they've packed up their bags and they've gone home. So we have to say to the conservatives across Colorado, Jordan, what Jordan's doing, look, we have to keep talking about this. Jordan and I have been working together for years. Jordan has sent me the videos of these children and these obscene dances. Now explain to me, you guys, how, in what world is it, did you ever think we live in a country where children are dancing on stage with drag queens and sex dolls, and the government's like, you guys are bigots because you don't accept this? And that's the whole thing. That's what Mao did. I mean, it's the state knows best, no matter what your parents say. That's this entire movement. And it's how much will you accept, right? I mean, Jordan, you were active during COVID too. So were you, Adam. These are things that are used to see how much we'll put up with and to break us down. And if you're willing to accept the loss of your right to raise your own child, you'll accept anything, anything.
I agree. And we had a question in the chat here. Jacob says that there's no housing crisis. There's 50,000 units up for sale, making the Denver area buyer's market. And just to fact check that, it looks like at the end of June, there was 13,600 to 15,000 homes for sale, 12,000 active listings at the end of April, and 5,900 homes for sale at the end of June, which is up 8.7 from May. But here's the thing. These people are leaving, right? They can't afford to live here anymore. But here's the problem is that who is coming in and buying these houses? And I think that's what you need to adjust for. It's the illegal immigrants, right? It's these influencing groups. It's these people getting SBA loans, right?
Or just Democrats, right? How many posts?
Marijuana grows. Illegal marijuana grows.
Yeah. How many posts do we see now every day, Reddit and Facebook, where these total, I mean, rejects from society that can't survive in their own state because they want to trans themselves, trans their kids, and they're like, where can we go and be safe? Oh, Colorado. I mean, and the affordable housing, I mean, that's a scam. It's a total scam. You know what's affordable? Where you can afford. If you can't afford to live here, go somewhere else. We don't want you.
Right. No, 100%. So here's the thing, though, is it's like you have Jordan going out there doing the groundwork, getting attacked, trying to report on these things, right? We have a governor who has failed. And to be fair, like I will give the GOP the benefit of the doubt, right? Hey, show me what you can do. What are you going to do to help save it? And I'm just going to be honest. I just haven't seen any movement. I haven't seen effective fundraisers or the fundraisers they want to save. They want to split it 50-50 between the candidate and the party. But even with the resignation of the most recent vice chair, he even said donate directly to the candidates, right? It's, you know, we're not effectively prepping the ground game for 2026, and I think it's too late at this point, right? No. What are we going to do in 2026 to hold the seats that we have? I mean, you're watching. There's a Navy admiral running against Lauren Boebert. He's raised $1.9 million. You have Manny Rutenau running against Gabe Evans. He's raised over $1 million at this point. Like they are putting a lot of effort to flip in the two most red districts in the state, CD4 and CD8, which is what President Trump wants to keep, right?
Locally.
What are we going to do? What are we going to do if the families aren't going to come out, if the people aren't going to get involved, if the people aren't going to go out there and vote, if people aren't going to be talking about these issues and showing up to the meetings? Like, we're going to lose these districts. And if we lose these districts, we're going to lose this state.
Well, I mean, we're already losing it. And that's what, you know, you and I will get to later in our segment about Space Command. I think we reach a point where it becomes we have to forget about the geographical lines, right? And say, the state of Colorado basically itself no longer matters. And so out of principle, how do we protect the most families and the most people and protect as many rights as possible, whatever that looks like? And at this point, I don't care whether those people stay in Colorado or not. And as a matter of fact, I hope that they don't. Because, you know, this notion of, well, it's going to get better. It's not going to get better until our elected officials start working for us. And on that note, Jordan, if I remember right, when you initially started recording this stuff in Manitou and even in Colorado Springs with Pride, and you started going to Oscar Blues and all these messed up places that do this gross stuff with kids. Adam, you need to see the Oscar Blues video. It's so gross. There's like adults with kids next to like nipple piercings and just like it's foul. I mean,
I just don't understand that why modern parents, if I can even call them that, think that this is acceptable behavior?
They're
Like
not.
Jordan, what are you seeing in your reporting that you've done on this? What are you seeing in the demographics of the people that are raising children and what their values are, what the school systems are involved in? Like, can you give us some insight to that?
Well, I'd say that as far as the values of the people that I'm running into, I mean, there's an overall way they present, like the Oscar Blues thing. You know, a lot of people were really nice. They had a party in the basement, and everybody was really nice. All the parents that were around, until they realized it was Jordan Baldwin and Eli Bazan of the Parasol Patrol came and they started swearing filth. Didn't care if kids were around, and it just there seems like this ungenuineness and a lot of problems within all of those family dynamics that I've seen. And I will say, Darcy, it's so hard to keep track of what they're doing. The one with the nipple guards was Laburla B.
Oh, Laburla.
So there's so many that they're doing in the basement.
So
and that one was in the basement as well, with the kids.
Right.
And we had that one too on film.
Yeah.
But we're gonna be coming out with a lot of this. And you know, in the schools, that's what we're seeing is this is connecting to the schools. We see these youth pride proms. They're trying to get as close to the schools as they can, especially with groups like Inside Out Youth Services here locally, who works in the schools.
Right.
And then, you know, the family dynamic within that, just it really looks corrupt to me personally. And I feel my heart really feels for these kids because it looks like they have no direction and they're being taken advantage of at the very least and led down the wrong road.
So my question is, where are the fathers? Did you see mostly mothers at this? Like who is going to these events and bringing these children there?
Well, that's interesting you say that, because I would say it's mostly mothers, and there's one father in particular. So the one father where this story kind of starts real quickly, I believe, is at Club Q. You know, this drag queen story time that started with Miss Connie and Joseph Shelton breaking boundaries, and Miss Connie, Adam Martinez, I believe is the name. They were doing it out of this Club Q with just what they call drag babies, where they would read to them and
drag
they
babies.
Would just read these stories. But then what developed in Club Q was drag brunches, where the kids were actually going and auditioning and performing, maybe not babies and the littler group, but they were more towards youth, 10, 11, 12 years old, maybe younger. And that's where we saw Resurrection Cassidy pop up. And that was one of the children that was performing alongside that child with the blow up doll. And, you know, and so we see this, and this one person in particular prides themselves, this little boy prides himself on being the first youth performer in Colorado Springs. Now, to answer your question, their dad prides himself. There's another boy he has in the ring, and he prides himself on being the Colorado Springs drag dad. But, you know, people look at that and it's pretty rare. So when they see that, it's unique because it's a rare thing, and everybody kind of has come to that consensus.
Yeah. Jordan, okay, so if I remember right, you did contact some commissioners and you contacted some officials in Manitou, correct?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So the first route I went was to Manitou PD. You know, I showed them my footage, I submitted evidence to the commander and to the chief. I did meet with their chief and their commander. I had two separate meetings. I talked to their PIO. Now, I will say they did give me the time and they did meet with me. I'm still trying to find out what happened with that. I mean, I can't really even find out. I don't even know if the report was filed, if it wasn't. But when we did try to follow up, it was very hard to get a hold of the chief or anybody on that.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I would say that we spoke with DHS maybe three or four different times. We have that evidence that we're going to include, because I believe that's what it is, evidence. Because I was hung up on at one point by high-level DHS supervisor, and also just given the runaround, the first initial contact I made with DHS, They said they didn't have enough information basically to identify the people, to make contact. So we identified everybody and provided full identities, and then they had another reason. So it was just the runaround,
Yeah, but you've been working so, so hard. I mean, Adam Jordan has been behind the scenes down here for just years. And I mean, he's like literally doing God's work. And he asks for no recognition. That's one of the things Jordan is just amazing. I mean, Jordan, you do all this work and you don't even like put your name out there. You're doing it because this is what you're called to do.
Yeah. Amen. I really do feel that. And I'm all self-taught basically, you know. Now I do a little bit of work in broadcast radio, but I learned just by going out and being concerned about what was going on in my community.
Yeah.
As a conservative.
And we're so grateful to you for all that you're doing. Jordan's going back this weekend because there's more stuff going on. He's going to have fresh new content so that you guys can see what's happening in El Paso County with kids dancing with drag queens, putting on shows for the pleasure of adults. That's basically what we're looking at. Jordan, is there a centralized place? You've got a lot of this content on your Twitter, right?
It would be YouTube. We have most of it on YouTube. I do have X, which is it's / Jordan_Scott719. You can reach out to me personally there. But you can go to our website. It's www.1amediagroup.com. That's the number one letter A mediagroup.com. And you can find a lot of our video work there. You can sponsor our work. You can sign up for our email list, but also connect to our YouTube, which is where a lot of this is centralized. And we're developing the site more so we can get more live streams going and put it right on the site.
Thank you
so much, Darcy. And I just want to say you have just been the biggest help and one of the greatest friends. And every time I've ever called or text, you've just been right there to help. And thank you so much.
No, thank you. I'm glad to. I mean, I would do anything for you, but also just for the kids of Colorado, you know. So I just appreciate you so much. And one more thing, Jordan, before you go, Manitou City Council is Wednesday night.
So I believe it's Tuesday. So it's every first and third Tuesday, okay. I believe. So and you can I believe join the live stream. But if you look on there, yeah, we will. Yes, that is coming up right after Pride.
Okay.
So yeah, hopefully it's something that they can hear about, because I do believe the city of Manitou needs to know what's going on.
Right. So if you live in El Paso County, actually, I don't care where you live. If you're watching this, if you feel compelled to help, log on to the Manitou Springs City Council meeting on Tuesday. We need all of the Republicans, all of the sound-minded parents that we can get to stand with Jordan and stand for kids and do the right thing. So Tuesday, I think it's 5:30. I'll send out the link anyways.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, confirm on that.
And I will.
I'm going to be out there. And I will be releasing a lot of the previous evidence here soon on what we found of the violations we believe happened. And then also just what we're going to be capturing this weekend. So
thank you so much, Jordan. I will be talking to you, I'm sure, tomorrow. But thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. So, Adam,
do you want to bring on this Jacob guy? He apparently has a question. He's been waiting for a while.
Yeah.
So, Jacob, if you want to come on and ask your question with the conversation, we'd love to have you on before we go into the next segment.
It's not a question. What happened was, many years ago when we legalized marijuana, the shops started opening up and made a lot of money. Mm-hmm. They couldn't put their money in the bank. So what did they do? They bought a whole bunch of property.
Yep.
Lately, or in the recent past, the city of Denver and some other cities raised the taxes on the marijuana to where it's almost double the price. And everybody's running back to the black market.
Yep.
So the stores, to keep their heads above water, are now selling those properties.
Yep.
Okay. So there is no housing crisis. They're just trying to get their money back before they go under.
Oh, I understand this. And this is actually the big issue that's going on in Maine. Like I said, I referenced that Tucker Carlson episode right now, but these are turning into illegal Chinese grows. They're owned by foreign governments. They're putting in extremely poisonous pesticides into our water system that our wastewater treatment plants cannot treat. You're poisoning American citizens and things like it's getting really bad. But here's the thing. Nobody's talking about it, Jacob, right? Is that we all thought that bringing weed into the state legally was going to resolve all our problems, that we were going to fund education with it. And we're missing all the money and we're in a $1 billion deficit. Right. So,
well, the governor was supposed to be a big businessman, but obviously not.
Yeah, we elected the wrong guy.
Though. I mean, there are plenty of people that are making immense profits all across the state. I think we do need to be careful not to slide down the slippery slope of Republicans who know best and say that, you know, legalizing marijuana or legalizing anything else is the root cause of all of our problems, because I agree with you on some of the properties of this. But, you know, as far as legalizing marijuana goes, it's really easy for our rhino sheriffs across the state to say, you know, weed caused all of our problems. No, it didn't. It's everything.
Okay. Let me just leave you this. There was a group called the Keating Five. It was run by McCain, you know, the senator from Arizona.
Right.
Now, I don't know if you were here in 1987. It was the Keating Five that put the state's real estate into a real terrible bind. Read up about it, and you'll see that that's where the Republicans were.
Yeah.
The Republicans the Republicans legalized. It was their vote that legalized the marijuana.
Jacob, my question to you is, what do you think Republicans can do now to change this situation? And how can we take back our state with more reasonable conservative values?
You can't right now. You got a New York City that's just follow whatever New York City does, because they're going to have to get rid of this guy. And whatever they do in November, then you'll have a year to work out the same project, the same system to get rid of some of the of the liberal. That's the only way you're going to do it.
Oh, no, for sure. So your solution is we need to bring in actual conservatives into the party and be men of action, right? I mean, I would agree with you 100%. Like I said, you could be a resident or you could be a citizen. We could sit here and bitch all day, Jacob, and you know how it's going to change? Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
All right. Have a great weekend.
Thank
Bye.
You,
thank you, Jacob.
Okay, Adam.
Yes.
Let's get to the juice.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Hey, you like my conversation. Great. Let's get to it. You know, this is like, I don't know how many people are watching right now, but this is what people are talking about. So
we got 65 live viewers right now.
So we're going to go ahead and be the ones to discuss it. The Ron Weinberg allegations. Mm-hmm. So State Representative Ron Weinberg threw his hat in for a minority whip. So this is really interesting, because minority whip is not even a desirable position. It's meaningless in this context. And I've never seen a public election for a minority whip. Mm-hmm. So the way that this election transpired into like the Real Housewives of the GOP has been very sensational. So when Ron threw his hat in, allegations came out. Some of these allegations are older. Some are from 2022 that he has made inappropriate comments to, I don't know, three women. Mm-hmm. Or two women, I'm not sure at this, three. And then it has just taken hold in the Signal chats. So let's get straight to the point, right? We've got a large portion of the GOP that is saying, you know, to hell with Ron, let's burn him at the stake. And then we've got some people that are like, Ron's innocent. You and I are both rational people, and we've talked mm-hmm. about this. Look, what proof do we have? At the end of the day, Santa Claus, he might exist, right? But I don't have proof of it.
Yeah. So this is my take on this. And like I said, this is actually how I got involved in politics. Like I said, I was at the Air Force Academy in 2006, 2010. I was raped, sexually assaulted, and was an investigator as an undercover informant for Air Force OSI, or Office of Special Investigations. I specialized in taking down people Chris Hansen style. I was good at it. We had 30 people get put up on trial. Only two of them got found guilty. And then they retaliated against me for reporting and going after these people, because it made a lot of high ranking people look bad. Right. So For the last 15 years, I have been dead set on making sure that we have sexual assault and harassment reform at our federal service academies and in our military. I sponsored the Dorito Act, which is something I've been trying to pass for 7 years now, or the Military Mental Health Justice and Protection Act, more formally is it known as. This is something I'm very well versed in. I've interviewed over 100 men and women who were raped and sexually assaulted in the military. But I'll be honest, right? There are people who do make false allegations for personal gain. And they try to intentionally destroy the careers of others. And I've outed some of them. But the problem is there are people who are raped and sexually assaulted and harassed. And it discredits the people who are actually being harmed by predators in the system. Right. So I'm at a very neutral stance about this. Do I know Ron Weinberg personally? No, I've actually never talked to him. Okay. Right. I judge him based upon his voting record. And so far, I guess he's doing pretty good for conservative values in the state of Colorado. But here's the thing. And I saw a little bit on the Signal chat today. I do not know these people who leveled allegations against him. But my thing is, we need to see the evidence. If you are going to bring this to a court or to investigative officials, you better have the receipts. Right. Because I do not think it is fair to destroy someone based upon words and hearsay. That's something I've been subjected to for years. There's no evidence to prove it. I hold the top secret security clearance. So good luck, idiots. Right. You know what I mean? So if you were going to accuse a state official of something, and if they did do something bad, they should be held accountable, right? 100%. But if there's no evidence to do it, I disagree with how it was brought about. I think one of the last comments that was made was like, I hope everyone looks at the evidence. No, I actually hope nobody looks at the evidence. This is not up to the court of public opinion. This is a very serious matter. It should be handled by the police. It should be handled by an investigative body. And the truth needs to come out, whatever that truth is.
If there's no, and I think this is where we're at, right? Especially given that these things happen in 2022. Mm-hmm. I mean, what the police have no standing in this when you don't have a recording, when you don't have a text message. To send the police on an errand like this, it is basically like, hey, go talk to him, go talk to her and figure out this he said, she said. Mm-hmm. And do that all day long, right? But I don't expect there to ever be any type of resolution to this, because if there were proof, we would have it.
And why wasn't it brought up previously?
Later, if we had a video, if we had a text, it would be out. Now, I'm not saying that it doesn't exist, but if there's proof, then give us the proof.
100%.
What I find exhausting is that there's this huge push in the Signal threads from so many lately that are like, hey, if you have a daughter, then you have to stand for this woman. Look, I respect all women, and I especially respect women who come forward in such a difficult situation. You, as you know, how difficult was it for you to?
No one has fought for women more in the U.S. military than me on the federal side. I will promise you that.
Exactly.
I'm going to D.C. next week to do the same exact thing.
Yeah, I myself have been 4 years into an investigation with the mayor of Monument because he was harassing several women. Now these women worked for him and there's proof of it. It's a little bit of a different circumstance. Right. But in this case, okay, how can we convict somebody just based upon the word of somebody else? Now you say that you haven't met Ron. You don't know Ron. I know Ron pretty well. I also know Heather. I also know Jacqueline. I would say that I know all the players in this case, right? So isn't the fair standpoint to say, well, I don't know. I wasn't there.
And here's the one thing to be 100% fair. Like I said, I don't know any of these people. And I have invited all of them on my podcast to come talk, right? Yeah. Hey, let's talk about it, right? I will interview anybody. I'll interview Joe Biden himself if he wants to come on my podcast, right? Because I think the truth and transparency is absolutely essential in these cases, right? I don't agree with consistently dividing the GOP further than we already are. I don't agree with that. We are going to lose our ass in 2026 with this crap. We are, right? Nothing is getting done because now everyone's focused on Ron Weinberg, who, like I said, I do not know personally, right? And let's talk into This cannot be proven. This is all unsubstantiated, but there are deeper things at play here. Okay. Ron represents a very unique and special district. Now I'm not going to use names because I don't think it's fair to do that. Right. But I will say that there is a very wealthy business owner in Ron's district. Right. And that person has been paramount to conservative values and establishing new development and commercial real estate in that area. And I will say that that individual is at odds with another very wealthy donor in the Colorado GOP that is controlled by another representative. Right. And I will say that that representative
very blunt about it, somebody who writes all the bills to hurt conservatives.
And I will say that those two representatives have been at odds with each other over the years, right? Yeah. And all you have to do is follow the receipts. I always tell people in intelligence, that's what I do. I'm an intelligence officer. Follow the money. Right. If you don't know what's going on, follow the money. And right. I will say that there is a massive project being proposed in Greeley right now, the Cascadia project. Right. Yep. And I will tell you that these two significant landowners who are very wealthy, who donate large sums of money to these specific representatives in their representative districts, are at odds with each other. They are controlled by two separate entities. Right. And I find the timing of Ron's allegations of sexual assault very convenient. That this project is now being put on the table at Greeley City Council and Larimer County and in Weld County, right? And that if Ron gets replaced, if he has to step down, it's going to be very convenient to see how other people may be pushed into that position. And I use the example of what just happened with the minority whip selection, yeah. Right? Kenda Graff is by far my favorite representative. Maybe I'm a little biased because he's also an Air Force Academy grad like myself. But Kenda Graff, I will tell you, is the only representative in the state who, when I called his phone number and said, Suncor is going to lose a $25 million paving project for the state of Colorado if no one fights for us. He is the only representative that fought for oil and gas in the yeah. state, right? And he is the only one who constantly talks to me every morning or, you know, what oil and gas, what's going on the ground? How can I help? Right. I've offered that to multiple representatives. I won't say their name, but I will say that every single one of them told me we can't touch that. Why can't you touch that? Why are you not allowed to touch that? Because that's what you ran on. Right. That's concerning to me as a constituent. Right. And I don't understand how even Kenda Graff, he posted it on his Twitter. Even he was surprised about how this person selected for minority whip was selected without even out his knowledge before the caucus even began.
We all know how it happened. We all know how a brand new representative mm-hmm. who has not made a name for himself, who has not voted conservatively, who has not stood for the people. We all knew exactly what that was. I mean, that's again, part of why I feel like this whole thing to take out Ron was politically orchestrated, because now we have a minority whip who's another yes man. Let's just be honest. I don't care.
Well, I will be honest. That group of individuals, like I said, I am a district captain, so I have to sit here and support all Republicans and yada, yada, yada. Yeah. Right. But I am not afraid to call out corruption and wrongdoing yeah. as it is. I don't care if you're a Democrat, an independent, a dinosaur, or Barney, or Mickey and friends. Okay. Right. If you are not doing the right thing and representing your constituents, which I am, and you are my representative, I will hold you to what you voted on and what you ran for. And if you're not doing those things, then Colorado conservatives need to take a considerable evaluation of what they're going to be doing in 2026 in order to elect people or keep people in power that represent our values. Because if we don't, I'm going to keep having to have shows about this, about Drag Queen Story Hour in Manitou Springs. And like I said, like, What are we doing, right? And like I said, the Democrats right now are funneling so much money into CD4 and CD8. And I've been trying to warn people about this because I go to the meeting secretly. I will sit in the back of these Democratic meetings and watch what they're doing.
We know that. We know they're funneling money to those races. Like, it's not mm-hmm. a secret. We can warn people all they want. It's that we don't know how to raise money in this state. We don't know how to win in this state. So your warnings are valuable, but they fall on deaf ears because these are not strategizing people.
Well,
these
correct. I'm not a representative, right? I'm not an elected official. All I can do is assist.
That respond. They respond. They're not proactive. They're not mm-hmm. out there, you know, creating conservative laws and trying to pass conservative resolutions. How many conservative school boards do we have across the state that do absolutely nothing? And that brings me to the point about school boards, Adam. You know, mm-hmm. we have several Democrats running in Republican towns, like Monument.
And nobody cares. Nobody's paying attention to it.
They're running unopposed. Oh, we put out notice after notice. We need somebody to run. We need somebody to run against this crazy person. And nobody cares. Nobody wants to run. And that is like the current state of Colorado. The Colorado GOP hasn't even said the phrase school boards.
Right. I mean, so the thing is that we always talk about losing our conservative values and please donate money and please help. But if no one is going to step up to the plate, then right. what are we going to do?
Right. And so that's where we're at. And so when we see conservatives behaving almost like Democrats in this sense, so quick to throw one of their own and one of their own who votes well, no less, under the bus and say, OK, he definitely did this. we're behaving like Democrats. Furthermore, and I know nobody wants me to say this, but that rhetoric that's been going on of you have to believe women because you have a daughter. Stand for your daughter. Guess what? I have a son too. And you're my friend. And I have so many guy friends. And I have a father. And I have, you know, you guys are subjected to just as bad, if not worse, than women are. So just because I have a daughter, just because I'm a female, does not mean that I'm going to stand here in some Me Too movement and say, yes, Ron Weinberg definitely did that.
No, we have responsibilities as Americans. And like I said, I don't like this. We need to believe all women or believe all men. No, we need to believe Americans, right? Exactly. And we need to unite behind that fact is that we are going to continue to lose this state if we don't start doing something effectively together, right? Exactly. And let's be 100% honest. It sounded nice up front. I mean, I was at the state reorganization meeting. I'm like, all right, this is who is in charge now. Let's see what they can do. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Right. And right now, why am I flying to Washington, D.C. by myself, paying my own money to go lobby bills for veterans because I can't get a single representative in the state of Colorado to support Marines with brain cancer or sexual assault survivors or military reform? Because Not a single one. And that, I'm talking about Democrats, too. I've been to Brittany Peterson's office plenty of times, and that lady is nuts. Walking around with her kid in Congress like I care, right? You know?
I know.
But it's, the thing is like, this is a problem with both sides, right? Is that if I can't get representatives on either side who are going to fight for the people that they claim to represent, then it's time for people to go learn how to tailor a suit, learn how to public speak, and start making sacrifices for this country. Because this freedom that we have, that we like to talk about, is not free. It comes at a cost, right? Our founding fathers always claimed we do this at the pledge of our fortunes, our lives, and our sacred honor, right? Well, where is it? I don't see anyone else doing it. They just want the accolades and they want a name tag.
Yeah, exactly. There's people like you. There's people like me, Christy Davis. There's Jordan, who was just on the call. And then there's a couple electeds that are willing to work for us. But by and large, it's people like me and you that spend our own money and use our own time to be doing these things. And it's so unfortunate.
Actually, Jacob brings up a good question. I want to address this issue because I actually had a serious discussion with the libertarians the other day, right? Unfortunately, Jordan, you say register people to vote, stop the gerrymandering. That sounds nice, right? But I will tell you that so many people have been pushed out of the Republican Party and registered independent or libertarian that we've lost those votes because they don't trust conservatives in the state, right? And one of the biggest risks we're at right now of losing several House seats and several congressional districts right now is that the libertarians currently are undergoing exactly what the Colorado GOP just experienced.
Yeah.
There was a lawsuit placed against the Dave Williams camp, and then they split the party. They formed their own independent officer group, right? And then it was deemed illegal. The same exact thing is going on in the Libertarian Party, except it's Democratic liberal controlled who re-registered themselves as libertarians that are going to come in. I will tell you that if we lose Hannah Goodman in any capacity as the chair or vice chair in the caucus in October, we will lose CD4 and we will lose CD8.
I know.
Okay. So I'm going to encourage this. If there's Republicans, if you're not an SEC voting member, if you're not a PCP or a district captain, right, and you can afford to do it for 2 months, go register as a libertarian. Right. I need you to register as a libertarian, and I need you to go to caucus in October for the libertarians and re-elect the libertarians that abide by conservative values and then re-register as a Republican. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. Because the Democrats are doing it right now. They've already registered, I think, over 15 to 20,000 people over to Libertarian Party to flip the Libertarian Party just for congressional caucus and for state representative caucus. Exactly. Right. If Republicans don't do the same thing to defend their conservative values, we will lose multiple districts and congressional districts in this next election, I promise you.
Yeah, I mean, we will. And honestly, let's wrap up the Ron Weinberg conversation, and then we'll finish with Space Command before we get off this call. Okay, look, how do we end it? Like, basically, there's no proof. We, as Republicans, you know, we need to not be piling it on our state representative who votes well. We need to wait for the truth, and we need to not throw gender into it. That's gross. You guys need to stop doing that. Okay. Like,
let's let the evidence come out. Let's let the courts decide, investigative officials officially decide this, but I do not believe that this should be left to the court of public opinion. And if the allegations are true, there should be repercussions and accountability. But if it's not true, then we need to really evaluate what's going on in the conservative party and ensure that we are not doing this to ourselves constantly every 30 days.
And,
right?
and, And you bring up a good point about CD4 and CD8 and losing all the districts. Look, I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to ask you this. Do you care anymore? Because I don't. I don't. I'm sorry. Like, this state is so undesirable, Adam. Like I've said on so many calls, if my best friend called and said, Darcy, I'm moving out to Colorado, I would say, Bethany, no, you're not. Like, you have lost your damn mind. Like, I don't see the purpose of trying to save Colorado anymore. I see more of a purpose in trying to let it go by the wayside or trying to force it out so that we can segregate it as the trash blue hole that it is and protect families elsewhere.
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, like, unless we can fix this and we can actually agree to disagree, or we're not going to agree on everything.
No.
And we actually get a good Republican governor, or we get some good representatives that are going to vote for conservative values. I'm sorry, but like, when I look at the Liberty scorecard, I know people are like, well, they have to vote Democrat sometimes, because if they don't, they're going to lose their district.
What?
That's not an excuse. If you're, I'll give them this. If you're under 75% on your Liberty scorecard, you probably should register to a different party.
You should register. You should go home. You should quit your job. You should go to the nursing home where so many of these people belong. Sorry, like, love you, Mary Bradfield, love you guys, but like, you're not elected representatives, okay?
You're just working for the benefit of yourself and not the people. You should do this at a risk to yourself. If people hate you that much because you're voting for conservative values and you get out in 2 years, okay, hand it off to the next person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we can't keep allowing people to be in the system for 20 or 30 years. The same exact people decide it was a good idea to send me to the Middle East and watch my friends die, and then keep telling me that they're the right people to make decisions.
They're not.
I don't agree with you.
They're
sorry.
Not.
I'm kind of an ageist. Get over it.
I totally agree. They can't even make decisions for themselves. I mean, we need energized people in the party to run.
And there's so many out there, Darcy. There's so many out, millennials and Gen Zers, who are willing to take the torch, but the torch is being withheld and put in a cherry picker, and that we can't touch it because they control everything in the SEC or the caucus or everything else.
Yeah. Scott Shamblin, I'd throw him into any elected office. Yeah. I mean, got some young people in our party that are ready to take control, but you know, a lot of the old guard has to die off first. Like, they've got to go, or they've got to go move somewhere, go to their nursing.
It's just respectfully, I promise you, there are plenty of people willing to take up the slack and continue the work that you started. Thank you for your service. I appreciate your time in the Conservative Party, but it's time to go.
It's time to go. Gary Carver saw that, right? Because everybody was expecting in Senate 9. 2 weeks ago for Terry Carver to take that seat, because everybody knows Terry's name. She's been elected for her entire life, right? And then Linda Zamora Wilson came in and took that vacancy. And that spoke to us, because that was enough to say, okay, look, there's a whole Senate district of people that forwent the well-known name, forwent the developer-sponsored candidate. Mm-hmm. They elected somebody that has stood in her principles for years now. And mm-hmm. Right, if that happened everywhere. I mean, unfortunately, it just doesn't. But that's what we need more of. And until we get that, we're just going to continue to fail. We're going to fail in the school board elections this year, and we're going to fail in 2026. And that's what's so sad about this state. It's like, and I love that people are optimistic, right? They're like, we can save Colorado. Like, this is my governor's candidate. No, I mean,
I'm sorry, but you're going to have to start trusting the younger people. And if you don't believe me, and all you guys claim to support Trump, which you do, right? There's a reason why President Trump's youngest appointee is 22 years old. I know him personally. There's a reason why Paul Ingracia is heading up the Department of Homeland Security at 28 years old as a fresh lawyer out of Yale, right? Is because President Trump understands he has less than 18 months to do what he needs to do, and it's not going to get done. We can't even get the Epstein files because the system is that broken, okay? But he is putting faith in young 30 and 40-year-olds to come in, establish themselves over the next 5 to 10 years in order to take the Republican Party by the time they're in their 50s, right? This is a plan. If we don't start doing that now and putting young people into these positions, we're going to lose everything in less than 8 years. Everything.
Yeah. And they have to be young people that are principled, because there are plenty of young Republicans that are not principled. So, and Trump said recently that he said it was 3 weeks ago, I'm moving Space Command to Alabama. You and I have been in contact with Alabama for 2 months now. And you've been very diligent about contacting all kinds of people out there. This is happening. So I think Colorado needs to brace for it. Trump doesn't say something and then not get it done. And look, you guys, all these elected officials who haven't stood for us, This is why people like Adam and I have been in this fight, because they deserve to feel the repercussions of their actions and to leave office.
No, exactly. Here's the thing. If we could have a conservative value, Christian-based family unit down here that could support the expansion of the airport, actually pave our roads and not shut down the refinery asphalt program,
yeah.
then yeah, let's bring another 150,000 people to the state. Boom, let's go. But unfortunately, I clearly make my decisions on actions, and I have yet to see anyone fight for the military, our farmers, our ranchers, our what we're selling off more water rights now. I'm sorry, until I can see new progressive conservative ideology fix our state first, I cannot morally or ethically subject another 150,000 people to what I'm living in. I just can't.
Same here. And that's what we have to keep reminding everybody of. And we've got to get Space Command out of this state. Like, Colorado does not deserve it. The elected officials do not deserve it. And I'm sorry to tell me, because they have, if you do this, you know, Trump is listening. And if you do this, you're taking Republican voters out of our state.
I disagree. We're already losing them.
We're already losing them. And that's your only argument? You're taking Republican voters? No, stand on principle. Stand on principle. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. And I know I only have a minute left here.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for letting me come on and help host this show while you were in traffic. I hope all conservatives listen to this. And like I said, let the evidence play out. You know, but don't work together. Don't divide each other continuously. And I appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you so much. And let's talk over the weekend with some of the Space Command stuff. And I'll fill you in on what's going on with Jordan once he goes over there. And Rep Weinberg, if you're listening to this, all I can say is don't resign.
Thanks again, Darcy.
Thank you.